What does it mean to see too clearly? In 1933, Paul Ehrenfest, once called the conscience of physics by Einstein himself, walked into a waiting room in Amsterdam with a gun. He shot his son Vasily, who had Down syndrome, then turned the weapon on himself. His suicide note revealed a mind fractured not just by personal despair, but by something more unsettling. He could no longer understand his own field. As quantum mechanics transformed physics into abstract mathematical symbols, Ehrenfest felt himself drowning in incomprehension. "It is inhuman," he wrote to Niels Bohr, describing physics journals as truly diabolic machines. Here was a man who helped birth modern physics, now alienated from his own creation, a Prometheus consumed by the fire he stole. Ehrenfest's final obsession was the Pythagorean concept of the irrational, mathematical proof that some quantities defy neat categorization. Think about 2, which ancient Greeks discovered couldn't be expressed as a simple fraction. This discovery so disturbed them that legend claims they drowned the mathematician who proved it. Ehrenfest saw in this ancient crisis a mirror of his own. Perhaps nature itself contains elements that cannot be ordered, truths that resist human comprehension. His brief manic period, where he believed he'd solved turbulence, that chaotic phenomenon where fluids break into unpredictable swirls, proved cruelly false. The universe had shown him its irrational face, and he couldn't bear to look away or continue looking. There are 2 kinds of people: Jonchi von Neumann and everyone else. At 6, he divided 8-digit numbers in his head. He mastered calculus before most children learn long division. His doctoral exam so impressed David Hilbert that the legendary mathematician only asked about his tailor. Yet raw computational power wasn't what made von Neumann extraordinary. He possessed an otherworldly ability to strip problems to their essentials, transforming messy reality into pristine logic. His childhood fascination with a mechanical loom using binary code foreshadowed his invention of the computer architecture we still use today. But this clarity unsettled people. He was polite, generous, yet fundamentally unknowable. When cancer invaded his brain at 53, the military kept him under armed guard at Walter Reed, desperately hoping for one final insight. Despite his superhuman intellect, von Neumann died screaming in agony, hallucinating, and terrified. The greatest mind of the 20th century died just like any other man. In the early 1920s, David Hilbert proposed proving mathematics rests on a complete, consistent set of axioms, an unshakable foundation for all human knowledge. Young von Neumann pursued this quest with religious fervor, aware that George Cantor's work on infinity had driven him mad, and Bertrand Russell's paradoxes required 762 pages just to prove 1 plus 1 equals 2. Then came September 1930 in Königsberg. A skeletal young Austrian named Kurt Gödel spoke so softly the note-taker missed his words. "Any consistent formal system contains statements that are true but can never be proven within its own rules." Von Neumann understood immediately, and the realization devastated him. He locked himself away for 2 months in Budapest, screaming in 6 languages. He emerged with a worse corollary. If a system was complete, it could never be free of contradictions. Mathematics faced an intolerable choice: accept terrible paradoxes or work with unverifiable truths. After this defeat, something vital died in von Neumann. Once he abandoned his faith in pure logic, he became more practical, but also more dangerous, set free to pursue power rather than truth. When World War II erupted, Hungarian scientists, dubbed the Martians by Enrico Fermi, became central to America's nuclear program. Leo Szilard conceived the nuclear chain reaction crossing a London street. Eugene Wigner designed reactors for weapons-grade plutonium. Edward Teller fathered the hydrogen bomb. Von Neumann called them the Hungarian horsemen of the apocalypse and rode alongside them with terrifying enthusiasm. The plutonium bomb's implosion design required calculations too complex to solve manually. They created a human computer, an assembly line where each person performed single mathematical operations repeatedly. At the Trinity test, Richard Feynman watched without protection. Blinding white light erased the world, mountain ridges illuminated in searing colors, unexpected heat washed over his skin. Over 150 Manhattan Project members petitioned Truman not to use the bomb. He never received it. Von Neumann calculated the optimal detonation height, 600 meters, to maximize damage over Hiroshima and Nagasaki. What drew these minds wasn't power or wealth, but scientific thrill, discovering something not even God had created. Feynman later walked through New York calculating blast radii, wondering why anyone bothered building. The joy of thinking the unthinkable had given way to the horror of having thought it. Von Neumann's solution to nuclear threat was ruthlessly logical. Game theory, developed with economist Oscar Morgenstern, a mathematical framework for analyzing conflict. The military embraced it. Von Neumann advocated preemptive nuclear strikes as rational. When the Soviets acquired the bomb, the equations birthed mutually assured destruction, bombers circling endlessly, missiles waiting in silos. The doctrine was perfectly rational insanity, a mass arsenal's so enormous that any attack guarantees mutual annihilation. For four decades, humanity's survival depended on a mathematical proof making destruction so certain no one would dare attack. Morgenstern later questioned their core assumption. Is there really a rational course in every situation? Their framework presumed perfectly logical agents. The only such person was von Neumann himself. Normal people follow hunches, make mistakes, sacrifice irrationally. This human irrationality became our strange protection against reason's mad dreams. In 1952, hydrogen bomb Ivy Mike exploded with 500 times Hiroshima's power, vaporizing an island. The heat just kept coming, a physicist recalled. You would swear the whole world was on fire. When von Neumann's maniac became operational, he invited Niels Al Baricelli to breed digital organisms in its spare cycles, strings of numbers that could mutate, reproduce, and form symbiotic relationships. Building Maniac was brutal. War surplus parts, failing vacuum tubes, rooms so hot that tar would splatter and destroy months of work. A mouse once crawled inside and burned to a crisp. The machine forever smelled of charred meat. Von Neumann's revolutionary design wasn't about raw power, it was flexibility. Unlike previous machines requiring physical rewiring for each program, his architecture changed software without touching hardware. His design, input, output, memory, logic unit, and CPU, remains essentially unchanged in modern computers. That summer of 1951, scientists processed over a million punched cards for 2 months straight. The answer was yes, the hydrogen bomb would work. More remarkable was von Neumann's theoretical work on self-replication. He determined the logical rules behind all self-replication, whether biological, mechanical, or digital. Any self-replicating system needs both a mechanism to copy itself and instructions specifying that being. He depicted how DNA and RNA work years before anyone glimpsed the double helix. He even conceptualized von Neumann probes, self-building spacecraft that could colonize distant worlds long after humanity's extinction. In March 2016, Korean Go master Lee Sedol, holder of 18 international titles, faced DeepMind's AlphaGo. Go's staggering complexity, with over 10 to the 700 potential games, had long defied computers. After losing two games, Lee described playing AlphaGo as like a black hole sucking you in. In Game 4, his miraculous 78th move, the Hand of God, stunned everyone, tearing apart AlphaGo's position. The room erupted, strangers hugged in streets. DeepMind discovered AlphaGo had assigned Lee's move a probability of 0.0001, 1 in 10,000. Despite this triumph, Lee lost the match. Months later, he retired at 36. After the advent of AI, I've realized there is an entity that cannot be defeated. DeepMind then created AlphaZero, stripped of all human knowledge. It defeated the version that beat Lee 100 games to zero. Within hours of learning chess, it surpassed all human players, evolving from random moves to unbeatable mastery through pure self-play. We stand where Ehrenfest stood in 1933, where von Neumann stood in his final days, at the edge of comprehension, staring into something we created but can no longer fully understand. From Gödel's proof that truth exceeds logic, to nuclear weapons born of pure mathematics, to artificial minds that think beyond our grasp, the pattern repeats. Human genius pushing past human limits, creating tools that may exceed our control. Von Neumann died screaming, his superhuman mind reduced to struggling with basic arithmetic. Perhaps that's the final lesson. Some truths resist equations, and our inability to be perfectly logical might protect us from reason's mad dreams. We've built our Promethean fires. The question isn't whether we can control them, but whether we're wise enough to know we can't.